by the name of over the UK. It is important to listen to what God is saying. And God is saying His church is not in the right place. For the signs that are to come, you are not prepared. And you have a very limited time to be prepared. A very, very limited time. And one of the signs in the prophetic word is you have to get away from the media and all the mainline news, because that is not of the scriptures. God says, Israel is my time clock. Look at Israel. Forget what's going on around you. Forget what the newspapers are saying. Look at Israel as a time clock. And God said, the time clock is getting very close. You don't have time to waste. You don't have time to fool around. You don't have time to be involved in other things, because time is running out. God says, get your eyes on Israel. That is my time clock. And so I'm coming back today to speak about Israel, to speak about God's promise to Israel. Now, when I think of Israel, and I look at its history, and I think to myself, if Abraham hadn't been called, and say it was somebody else that was called, do you think the history would be any different from Israel's history? I don't think so. You look at the church today. Where is the church? When the foundations of the church start to crumble, the foundations of society start to crumble. The foundations of your institutions start to crumble. The foundations of the financial system start to crumble. When the foundations of the church are shaken and start to crumble, you will have big problems everywhere else. And so as we come today, we're going to look at some of the things which Israel has done. Because it was never perfect. But God gave them unconditional promises. And I'm going to start off, because Israel, they had times when they're men of God and they soared to great heights. But many, many times, it was the opposite. And sometimes when you look at scripture and you think, how did it ever fall away? And then you live in their days and you look around and you see how easy it is for the church to fall away and to become ineffective in society. It's not difficult, because we are totally unaware of the strategies of Satan. And we get caught up in our own little world, and we forget there is a spiritual warfare going on at a higher level that impacts us. And so, I'm going to start with Jeremiah chapter 16, two verses from, and this is judgment to Israel. And it shall come to pass, when I shall show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord announced all this great evil against us? When you come to Israel, people always want to bring their own judgment on Israel. Scriptures here says, the Lord pronounced great evil and great judgment. And we'll come to this later on again. But see, if God starts to judge you, who's going to deliver you? If God starts to judge, where do you think you're going to get your deliverance from? None can deliver out of His hand. And the Bible says, and it goes on to say, what is this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is our iniquity? We know iniquity. We've talked about iniquity in previous weeks. The moral character, the things that come down through generational lines. We listened to a tape the other day there, and this was a man all involved in witchcraft, and when he was still in it, he got a task against a Christian group. What did he get? A 500-page dossier on the people, on certain individuals, to trace a generation back 10 generations, to see if there is something there that they can trip them up with. Iniquity. We look for the cleansing of our bloodline. We look for the cleansing so that, like Jesus, when the enemy comes, There's nothing he can touch us with. He said, what is our iniquity? What is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Well, Jeremiah goes on to say, this is what you'll say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, said the Lord. You've turned away from me. You've forsaken me. When you got prosperous, when things started to look good, you started to ignore me, you forsook me, you went your other way. You walked after other gods. You served other gods. You worshipped the other gods. You've forsaken me and you've not kept my law. And see, when you look at the history of Israel, when they turned away from a God of power and authority who brought great deliverance to them, where did they end up? Sacrificing their children to idols. Now that's a great fall from being a place where you're way up here and you're seeing the deliverance of God to a place right down here where they're so deceived that they offer up their children to idols. There was a preacher, you're going back about 100 years ago, but in his book he highlighted three rejections of the Godhead to Israel, by Israel. He said, in the days of Samuel, they rejected God the Father. In the days of Samuel, they said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, they have rejected me. The people wanted me like other people, they wanted a king. In the days of Christ, they rejected the Son. And they cried out once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. And then in the book of Acts, they rejected the Holy Spirit. When it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So the history is not a great history. There's so many things that they've done, but they've got a great covenant and a great God. A God who forgives their iniquities, heals all their diseases, and a God who makes everything new. And in the book of Jeremiah, we begin at verse chapter 31, begin at verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Days are coming where God is going to make a new covenant. The old covenant which they gave, and they have got an unconditional covenant. But God said, I'm going to give them a new covenant. The days are going to come, and I will give them a new covenant, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Here's a great scripture. It's not been fulfilled yet, but it's going to be fulfilled. But in the days when this is going to be fulfilled are not far away. The days are coming when this scripture is going to be fulfilled. And this scripture is saying he's going to write his laws in their hearts. Everybody in Israel will going to know who the Lord is. Nobody will need to prophesy because all will know who he is. God is going to do a work in them that has never been done in any other people, so that the whole nation will worship him. And God said, I will do it. When's he going to do it? The time clock is Israel. The day is drawing close to when that is going to happen. And the Bible goes on to tell us, they're not going to teach everybody his neighbour, because God is going to be there in the midst to teach them. And it's not just an Old Testament prophecy. We come to the book of Hebrews, And Hebrews repeats it more or less verbatim in Hebrews chapter 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God who was manifested in the flesh when Jesus Christ came, he is a God, the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. I remember many years ago, I heard a preacher one time, he preached, he said, when the grace of God comes to the end, he said, you've got the mercy of God. When you've extended the grace of God, he said, the mercies of God are there. And the mercies of God are going to be shown to Israel, and the promises of God are going to be given to Israel. And they're going to be happening in days which are not far off. And so, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we are getting this reinforcing that something drastically is going to come that is going to change in Israel and the people of Israel. Now, when Jesus came, he got the promise that he would sit upon the throne of his father David. That promise has never been fulfilled. But there is coming a day when Jesus is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. And he is going to reign, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so the scripture here, we have got to get it into our mind. And we're not to be shaken by what you're reading in the newspapers, because they're all under the influence of the God of this world. We come back to what did God say. And unfortunately, in the Christian church, we have so much things which is mixed. It's a mixture we get. I have a book led by a professor. He goes over different doctrines, but his comment on the people, when Israel was restored, he makes a comment that many people thought, theologians thought, it was just an accident of history. And yet you can go back through the scriptures using the vision of Daniel, using what happened to Ezekiel, using the books in Leviticus for extensive time, and you can calculate when Israel came into the land in 1948, when they got Jerusalem in 1967. All these calculations were done more than 100 years ago, you can get them quite easily, showing how God is faithful to his word and he is very accurate to his word. And so when you get these books and it says, it's just an accident of history. It's not an accident of history, it is according to the word of God. Some of you probably sit with a Bible and think you've got a good translation. And I'll tell you what it says about Israel. It says, God has given them up completely and forever. And that is one of the big lies of Satan that's come down through many church denominations for years and years and years. That God has given up Israel completely and forever. All the blessings of Israel are in the church. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. God said, I am coming back to Israel. I have scattered them, and I've scattered them to the land of Babylon. He said, but then I'm going to scatter them to the four corners of the earth, but one day I will bring them all back from all of these nations. God spoke it. He said, when I bring them back, they will be speaking their own language. They will be in the land. They will be in Jerusalem. Because I'm coming back to Jerusalem. Why do you have big wars over Jerusalem? Because that's what Jesus is coming back to. Yeah. Why do you have all the conflict? It's a spiritual conflict. It's over Jerusalem. Because Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. And this covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the covenant is particularly Jewish. It is the uniting of the Jewish nation. In particular, the law is going to be written in the hearts. You read that in Jeremiah, in the verse 33, but this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And as repeated in Hebrews, they shall not teach every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So God is coming back to restore Israel. The nations may forsake Israel. God has declared he will never forsake them. And notice what they are forbidden to do in verse 34. They shall teach no more every man and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is going to be there. Jesus is coming to reign with his people. And it shall come to pass, Zechariah said, it shall come to pass when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. Why did he say that in Zechariah? Because we're told in Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And these days are drawing very close together. See, we're told that the first covenant had its faults. The first covenant, Israel couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep the laws. And even after the crucifixion of Jesus, you know, in the other book, part of Acts, in Acts 7, no, one of the disciples gets up and he says, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And which of the prophets have they not slain? That showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have seen now and betrayers and murderers. And so why Israel, because of the rejection, and look who rejects them. It's the people who are the leaders in the religious realm. It's the people who were the religious leaders who connived to get Jesus crucified. See, just because somebody's got a call on somebody that's a religious person, don't think one minute that they're more righteous than other people. Sometimes they're your biggest problem. Many times in the book of, if you go through the Old Testament, the culprits for the nation being led astray was the religious leaders. When you don't have good leaders, whether the political realm or the religious realm, people suffer. It's always been that way. It can be frustrating, but it's always been that way. You have bad leaders, you have bad leaders in the religious circles leading, you have bad leaders in the political circle, then the people always have big problems. Israel's restoration is prophesied in Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. It's quite an amazing passage of scripture. Notice when I talk about the things which have to happen before God will forsake Israel. The ordinances defined as the sun for light by day, the moon and the stars for light by night, for all these things to cease. If you can measure heaven, if you sound any scientists yet who've got any idea how big heaven is, how to measure it. It was Job who tells us he was there and the sons of God were there when they laid the foundations of the earth. But who can tell you what the foundations of the earth are? And so God is saying, if you can discover the foundations of the earth, if you can measure the whole of heaven, if you can, all these things which are, he said, if you can overcome them and get to know them, he said, then what Israel, I will just cast them aside. So what they have is they have promises from God that are unshakable, unmovable, because nobody knows the answers to any of these things except God himself. Nobody knows the answers. God alone knows the answers. If Satan had a clue, he would be letting everybody know. But he hadn't got a clue about any of these things either. God alone. And so the promise is there, and the promise is there, and it's unmovable. And he goes on to say in Isaiah 66, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So God is telling us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we know that's true, because the scripture tells us God's going to do a new heaven and a new earth. But look what he's saying about Israel. When God makes that new heaven and new earth, Israel's still going to be there. Gentile nations might not be there. Lots of people groups might not be there. But one nation is going to be there. The nation of Israel. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be destroyed. Even if his enemies could overrun Israel today, and only a remnant is kept safe, they're still going to triumph and overcome. Because the word of God shall be fulfilled. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Once you have the new earth and new, and everything is new heavens, God's going to have people come to worship. But look what it says about those who have transgressed against the Lord God. Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. You know, it's quite funny. See, when we get saved, Jesus Christ comes into us and we're born by the Spirit of God. What's the process? Paul talks about for us to be changed from glory to glory, being changed from glory to glory till we see the face of Jesus. And the Bible says, when we see him, we will be like him. And the Bible talks about we will have a body like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. So everything from where we are is a progression to something higher and greater and greater. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the fall of Satan. Being the cherub, responsible for all the worship over the throne of God. But as he declines, and as he falls from one stage to the next, what happens? His appearance is corrupted. His appearance is defiled. And that defilement and that corruption continues stage after stage after stage. And the Bible talks about those who transgress God. Their corruption is going to be great. Because God is saying, they're going to be just like a worm. They're going to degrade so much so, they're going to be so defiled and so unrecognizable. Because you can only reflect and grow in the presence of God, because in Him is life. In Jesus Christ is life and life eternal. In Him you have eternal life. Outside of Christ is death and destruction. And so the Bible tells us God is going to renew the heavens and earth, and His people are going to be part of it. And that's why Isaiah says, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So we started off that God is going to judge Israel. But by the time of all the rebellion, all the hardness of heart, they're turning away and breaking the covenant, God judged them Himself. And God said, Israel has received double from the Lord's hand because of the rebellion. She received more from the Lord's hand than she got from any other nation. God was behind it. Discipline them. And so when we look at Israel, we just give them to God's hand. They're His people. He deals with them. But God also says, I am going to restore them. And the days in which they are getting restored is coming very, very soon. And so when you look at the world situation, you see what's all going on at the present time. Be known to you, that is my time clock, for the end is near. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. You can do a whole multitude of different ways of calculations from the Bible, and all come into the current days. And the Lord in His word during the week was very strong. Eyes off of the media, get away from what you're hearing. Get your eyes on Israel, get your eyes on the Word of God. My time clock is ticking. And if you do not become aware of it and get into alignment with it, then when things happen, you're going to be getting swept away with everything. You need to be in the right place, in the right position, because these days in which you live are evil. The days in which you live are days in which, probably if we had a choice, none of us would like to live in them. But the days are evil. Time is short. And we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. In Isaiah 42, when it says they'll receive double from the Lord's hand, it goes on to say in the next verse, it goes back to John the Baptist. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness. The voice of him crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And then it goes back in verse 4 to the second advent. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain brought low. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, we come and we say, so where are we in the time list? Time-wise, where are we situated in the present time? Well, the Bible talks about the tabernacle of David being restored. And the tabernacle of David can be restored very quickly. So when we look, we find that God's kept His promise and He has brought Israel back from the four corners of the earth. But all the nations have been scattered, they've been brought back, they're now in their land. They now have Jerusalem as their capital city. That's the only one place where the Jewish people haven't come back in numbers to Israel. But as you watch today, you might start to see that changing very quickly. Because when Jewish people do not return voluntarily to their own homeland, then circumstances start to come into being that makes them untenable for them to remain where they are. And the place where the greatest amount of Jews are still to return to the land of Israel is from the United States. The one major nation where Jewish people are still remaining. But as you see, when the profile of the people in the land change, lots of things start to change. And the anti-Semitism and all the things against the Jewish people, all of a sudden. And so what you can expect, the next stage is a mass exodus of Jewish people leaving Israel, America. Because God will have his people return from all nations. He's not speaking for some, he's bringing them all back. And when they will not come willingly, then he makes it unbearable for them to remain. And so we know that these events are also happening. We also know that from 2018 was the first time for thousands of years that Jerusalem had been called Israel's capital by other nations. And here we are in 2024. What are we waiting for? There are different things. The Jewish people are looking for a restoration of the temple. We may see that, we might not. But Matthew also says Jesus is returning to sit on the throne of glory in Jerusalem. So these are the only events that are left to be fulfilled. But nothing else greatly apart from that. The final people from other nations into Jerusalem, the church may see a lot of that, but we won't see everything. Because when we go back to the book of Daniel, Daniel gave a vision, got a vision from the angel, and the vision that he got covered a period of 490 years, a vision of 70 weeks. And that vision was very, very specific. He said, Daniel, this is what's going to happen to your people, Jerusalem. Not the Gentiles, not other cities, but Daniel, it's your people and your city. And we know that that 1 week is still to be fulfilled, and that week's coming soon. One of the reasons why we've got to expect the church to be here in that one, because the church is taken away for God to deal with Israel. And so the time is now getting drawn very, very tight. And the prophetic word during the week was, it is time that you get your eyes fixed on my time clock. Because if you have not fixed on my time clock, then you're not going to be in a position, because things are going to be shaken. Lots of things, we think that COVID is bad. But the things, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. But God wants to anoint his people. God wants to call out a people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who are being delivered from the powers of sin and demonic, and know how to walk in the Spirit, because they will be bright lights to win many to Jesus. They will be the ones who do not fear when things collapse around them. But God wants to move amongst his people so that there will be a beacon and there will be hope. Because God never leaves people without hope. But God uses his people to bring that hope. And so God is looking for each one of us to start to bring our lives in to say, what is the priorities for my life at this time? What is important? And the important thing is that the house of God gets restored and the foundations are restored so that we are ready for the harvest and we are ready to cope when people are in fear and when things all fall around. When things fall around, people look for help. Where does help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. We know whom we've trusted. Mm-hmm. We know whom we've trusted. Our foundation is firm and unshakable. We know what's going to come, because God's word tells us. And so we stand on God's word, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we look for our lives to be transformed so that we are carrying the anointing of God, and when things start to happen, we can be used to bring in a great harvest. we can be used to bring in the great harvest. See, people have to be shaken out of their complacency. People have to be shaken out of all the things that have held their attention. Because God wants to save and bring into his kingdom the multitudes out there. And as everything starts to fall apart, he's looking for his church to be in that place. And so we look to be in the right place here in Livingston. We look to be in that place where we are ready and we're walking in holiness and in truth. So that when things fall apart, God's going to use us and we're going to see God doing great things. The church is a hope, not a hope. And God didn't use any other. God always uses people.
Yeah.
He uses his people. And so the prophetic word was very strong during the week. As to get ready, there's no more time to fool around. Look at Israel, that's the time clock. Things are happening fast. And God's word is going to be completely